Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli is on an island somewhere in the Caribbean. The phone lines are open. 355-NFL1, 355-6351.
He's getting a lot of sun.
Yeah, well, he needs some.
Well, I mean, you know, with the body mass area, he's getting a lot of sun.
Well done. Yes. Plenty to get to tonight. OTA start on Tuesday. What do you want to see from the offense, defense, and Derek Marks? Rated as one of the top players in the league by the players. We'll get to that. Also, a chat with Josh Scobie coming up about 6:15, the Jaguars kicker. We'll get his thoughts on the rule change to extra points. I'm sure he has some thoughts about that.
Oh, yeah. Of course, I mean, all kickers have thoughts about changing the extra point, you know. And you know, Josh is, over the years, he's been one of those guys. I know early on he was he was very particular. You know, he was a very particular kicker. In other words, everything had to be just right.
Okay.
You know, the pre-kick, you know, steps, you know,
the
rhythm,
right, the ball leaning the right way.
Yeah. And so this is a little change for him. You know, so it'll be interesting to see how he handles it and what he thinks about it.
He's one of those you're saying, if he had a desk, which I don't know if he does or not, but if he had a desk, everything would be perfectly organized and straight on the desk. He's that type of guy.
Absolutely. I mean, don't you get that impression from Josh?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, I played with one of the what I consider a great guy, Pat Leahy, who he was literally old enough to maybe even be my grandfather. No, I'm just kidding. He was old enough to be my dad. I mean, he was like 40 years old, still kicking. He was my next-door neighbor. Loved him because I would always get invited over for dinner. And you know, Pat would come over and drink beer with me. So it was a great setup. You know, he'd come over and drink beer with me, and I'd go over there and eat with him. You know, and he really taught me a lot about the mindset of kicking, because I used to ask him. You know, because that's not something that was a different world for me. You know, I mean, here's a guy that's a pro kicker that's lasted a very long time. And he had a lot of great comparisons and really related kicking a lot in terms of golf, which, you know, it's no surprise that mm-hmm. most kickers are very active golfers. Josh Scobie is one of them, an excellent
sure.
golfer.
Mm-hmm.
But Pat used to talk about, you know, where you're making contact with the ball. And he said that, you know, by making contact at the ball in different places for different distances, it's like a golfer choosing a different club. And the rhythm of the whole situation, you know, the pre-snap mind games that you play in the preparation, it almost becomes automatic to where you become a computer. And that I think the good ones get into that mindset to where it's just it's constant repetition and perfect repetition for those guys. Now, all of a sudden, that's changed, you know, so it'll be interesting to see how it handles. Now, I'm not going to be like Frank and say, wow, this is a really big change, and it's, you know, it's going to change the game of football, and it's going to change games. You know, look, it's the extra point.
But it's still, what, 13 more yards? And all heck
JP,
can break loose. A windy day, snow. Hey, it's snowing in December.
JP,
right? Tie game, your guy misses it, you're overtime.
I think the league almost – put that off until now, until the most recent NFL owners meeting, because what else are you going to talk about in the end of May? You know what I mean? It keeps the NFL, you know, in conversation on shows like us that we're doing. You know, but would it be that big of a deal at any other time of the year in July? They say, hey, look, you know, we're going to go ahead and change the extra points this year. Hmm. You think anybody'd be talking about it?
Probably not.
No. Come on. They're like, all right, cool, let's go.
Well, I know you love kickers, so we'll talk to Josh Scobie.
I think there's a lot of great kickers. I mean, I've had some, like I said, Pat Leahy, great mm-hmm. guy. Louis Aguiar was a punter when I was in New York, great guy. You know, so, I mean, I had great relationships with them and had a lot of respect for their craft because, I mean, what they do is very hard. Very, very hard. Because even though it's a team sport, it's a very individual process. There's no hiding when you make a kick, whether it be a field goal or a punt. It's on you. So it's a little different mindset. That's why they're a little quirky. But y'all used to laugh. Because, you know, you're in meetings all day. You're lifting weights. And, you know, and these guys are, you know, okay, the kicker and the punter, what are you going to meet about?
That's a great question.
I mean, really.
Well, I can see the punter.
I mean, I'm willing to listen if anybody wants to call and tell me. And I'm going to ask this to Josh. I mean, what do you guys meet about? You know, because I remember kickers and punters – from my early days, they'd have, like, remote control cars while we were in meetings there out in the parking lot playing with their toys.
Well, what else are you going to do? Nothing else to meet about, right?
I was just jealous. I wanted to go out there and play with cars.
I'm sure you did, yes. Plenty of kicking talk coming up with Josh Scovey. OTAs start on Tuesday. They're not open to the public. That's normal, so don't freak out, everybody. It's limited media coverage as well. That's the normal routine for the OTAs.
There will be no tweeting by the you.
None of
John
above.
Osher.
Nope.
Now, after practice, you can probably do what you want.
That's right. So, but now, like they normally do, there'll probably be at least one mini camp practice open at the end of OTAs.
Yeah,
that's
what they usually do. But, you know, don't count on it. You know, you have to see. You know, we got some new twists and turns offensively. So, I
yes.
mean, if you're this, Gus and Greg Olson, I mean, you don't want to show anything.
No, all the cards are new this
so,
year pretty
you
much.
Know,
so what do you want to – if you're Olson this week, you've been on the field for a little bit now with some of the guys. So what do you get out of these OTA practices?
Well, the biggest thing is having the players be able to speak the language. I mean, that's really what this week and then next week, and that's where the process begins. You know, the terminology never stays the same from one offensive coordinator to the other. Now, a lot of the principles stay the same.
Right.
The route trees, you know, it's not like you go from one team to another and it's a completely new route tree.
It's all football.
It's football, right. You know. But, you know, this is where you build the relationships that have to last when you get into the fall. I mean, this is where a lot of the core learning has to happen to where it becomes second nature once you get into training camp. So you're not worried about what I have to do so much as how can I make this technique doing this responsibility better? You know, because a thinking player is a non-athletic player. That's very simple. When things become second nature and you stop thinking, you can be more athletic, you can play the game faster. So this process of OTAs is getting the mental aspect of the game down so that when they get to training camp, they can work on the physical aspect of their game, play the game fast, and then hit the ground running once they get in the opener in the fall.
Were you a thinking player, or did you, as it went on, learn how to not think?
JP, I was 260 pounds, and I ran a 4.85.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. I had to be a thinking player.
Yeah.
Okay, I was not like Tony Brackens, who was just, I mean, an incredibly gifted player. You know, I think that you have, I mean, the great ones – I never considered myself a great player. I'm not saying that. But the great players were able to combine not only the mental aspect of the game but with great physical gifts. And it's amazing how many players you saw that came in with great physical gifts. I mean, God had blessed them like no other. But they just never got the mental aspect of the game down and could not take it to another level because they couldn't understand some of the intricacies of the game. You know, the great ones, you know, that I play with, Ronnie Lott. I mean, Ronnie Lott was unbelievable.
He's pretty good, yeah.
A Hall of Fame player. And Ronnie taught me more about understanding opponents and their tendencies and their coach and what style he had. He taught me more about that than maybe any player.
You think then, so you don't have to think when you're between the lines.
Yeah.
When it's second nature,
I mean,
you're fast.
You know, the great ones, like Howie Long. Howie Long, you know, and a lot of people that are relatively young remember how or only know Howie as a broadcaster on Fox's Game Day broadcast with Terry and JB and those guys. Howie literally kept a book on every offensive coordinator and their terminology, and he kept that with him everywhere he went. When he played the game, when he was getting ready to prepare, he would look at the notes that he took in the past, and once he played the game, after the game was over with, he would go home, break out that notebook, and he had a section, a bindered section for that offensive coordinator, and he would write notes down, audible, snap counts, tendencies, whether it be red zone, tight red zone, a third and critical play, two-point conversion. I mean, Howie kept a book on everybody. I mean, that's why Howie ended up where he ended up in the Hall of Fame. Because, I mean, he was not only an extremely gifted player, but he also took it to another level by truly understanding some of the finer mental details of the game.
It all starts during OTAs, though, getting that.
And well, and that see, right? If you got all of the, if you get everything down as far as understanding the offense and understanding the terminology. I mean, for Blake Bortles, for example, if all of your the responsibilities of every player on the field, you've got the protections down, you understand what the route combinations are on every play, you know what the audibles are on every play, then when you get to the line of scrimmage, it becomes second nature to what you're doing to orchestrate your own offense. And then once that becomes second nature, then you can really focus in on what the defense is doing and their tendencies, and maybe this guy, okay, he's cheated up 3 yards. The safety's cheating up 3 yards on this side over here. In the past, that's meant this for that defense from watching film. So it allows, especially a quarterback. I mean, a quarterback, it's absolutely critical to where he can understand the offense completely through and through so that once he gets to the regular season, now he understands the offense. Now he can focus in on what the opponent is trying to do to combat what they do.
The defense has a step ahead this week because they've had that system in for a little while now. What do you want to see, and what's the top battle, I guess, during OTAs on the defensive side for this team? Is it just the new faces, well, linebackers, safety?
Let me say this about battles, okay, in OTAs. You're no pads, okay? So the battles really don't exist for big guys because, I mean, the battle starts when you put the pads on for those guys. So the battles have to be in the little guy positions, which, I mean, I say little guys. I mean, they're not really little anymore, you know. So I look at the secondary, you know, with new acquisition, Devin House, the new safety, fourth-round pick, James Sample from Louisville. You know, how's he going to fit, you know, playing that free safety position slash, you know, however you want to call it, left or right safety position. I want to see how Dwayne Grotz, you know, has improved from last year to this year. I want to see if Demetrius McCray has taken a step up. I mean, the secondary guys are big. I want to see Dan Scuda. I want to see Julius Thomas. Anybody that – so, in other words, when a football practice is going on, you have team drills, and then you have individuals, and then you have a 9-on-7 drill, which, you know, you can't really do in no pads. I want to watch the 7-on-7 group. Which the 7-on-7 group is basically take out all of the defensive linemen and take the offensive linemen out. Those are the guys that I want to see, is the 7-on-7 group. Most importantly, I want to see Blake Bortles. I want to see if some routine throws can look routine with Blake Bortles this year.
It was a big part of this offseason, his development and his production moving forward.
Well, he's done everything that you would like him to do.
Does it translate out there?
Now you want to see it on the field with a new offensive staff, with some new weapons, some new guys that are going to be up front, although we're not, like I said, we're not really looking at that closely. But that's will it not always be the focus? I mean, until Blake Bortles or this team gets an established franchise quarterback, you're always going to look to that position first and foremost.
Get more in 2015, become a Jags season ticket member, and get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call and speak to an account manager today at 633-2000. Extra points moved back to the 15-yard line. We'll hear from Jaguars kicker Josh Scobie right after this. Phone lines open 355-NFL1. 355-6351. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Prime Sport is the leading global sports travel and event management company, offering corporate and fan travel packages and hospitality events for corporations, professional sports teams, and fans. For more information, go to primesport.com. The Jaguars offseason is brought to you by Prime Sport. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli is on vacation. Josh Scobie, I guess, is on vacation too, right, Josh? How are you tonight?
I wouldn't call it that. I'm at the park with my 3-year-old and 6-month-old son, so this is not exactly a vacation for me.
Oh, we appreciate you taking time out of family time, man. That's really nice of you. We really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No problem. My wife left me high and dry. She had to go get her nails done, so I'm watching the two boys.
Well, let's get right into it. The rule change, extra points. Kickers can't be so happy about this, right?
I guess it all depends on, you know, how you go about handling things like that. Because, I mean, if you've been playing long enough like I have, you know that certain rule changes are going to take place. Now, this is obviously a big one. And, you know, the extra point has been at the 10-yard line for the longest time. So this is one that really you just have to embrace it and adjust to the change.
Now, wait a minute. What do you mean a big change? I mean, the old extra points, Josh, were just chip shots. You know, so instead of the sand wedge, now you break out the 7. No big deal.
That's a strange analogy. And, you know, one of my least favorite terms is that people use for field goals when they say chip shot. Because any field goal, regardless of the distance, can be missed at any point, as you know. But this one is just going to be a little bit different. Yes, it is, you know, 13 yards longer, and the percentage of those made is probably about 10% less than an extra point. But it's just getting over it mentally, knowing that you're back there at 33 yards and it's still going to be worth the same amount of points that it was when it was at 20 yards. So it's just something that you really have to put out, you know, in the back of your mind that you have to execute regardless of the distance.
Josh Scobie is with us on Jaguars Thursday. Is that tough for you, the mental part, to get past something like that? And how do you adjust as a kicker?
No, I don't think it'll be too tough to get past that. It, like I said, it's just something that you have to put in your mind that it's one kick and you have to treat it just as equal as you would a field goal of, you know, 45 yards or even a field goal of 20 yards. Just going into that kick, you have to be mentally focused and not be so worried about missing it and just concentrate on what you can control.
You know, Josh, a lot of kickers really have a routine, you know, that is followed to a T. And many routines are very similar for field goals, but the routine for what used to be the extra point sometime was different for guys. Does it change your routine, your preparation pre-kick?
Not at all.
Does the footwork change?
No, nothing changes with that. I mean, you're essentially just trying to hit a, you know, a 20-yard field goal or an extra point, just trying to hit it straight, get it up in there and hit it straight. But my routine and my, you know, pre-kick sequence that I go through never changes, or at least I tried for it to not change. So I don't see it any different for, you know, a 33-yarder.
Would you have done, you know, when the NFL came out with this, the idea, and there was different proposals that were out there, did you favor any other one that did not get put into place?
No, this was, in my opinion, the best option that they could have, or conclusion they could have come to of the options available. You know, when I heard the possibility of the narrowing the goalposts like they did in the Pro Bowl, I thought that was a little strange, because then all kicking records pretty much go out the window. And so I really think this one was the best possible outcome of the choices that I heard of.
Wouldn't that make good kickers even more valuable, right, with narrow goalposts? If you can hit field goals then, wouldn't that help kickers?
I guess so. It would make accuracy more of a premium over any type of power. Because you would see fewer long field goals attempted. And so, therefore, the guys that are more accurate with the weaker legs would be in favor over guys that might have a lot stronger leg but might not be as accurate.
All right. For many of the people that are football fans out there, Josh, I mean, you have a very, and most kickers have, a very strict routine. And you talked about this consistent mental process that's also a physical process prior to the kick. Walk people through that, from the point that you have your foot on a piece or a spot on the ground
to where you're marking your spot for your holder, which is Brian Anger, and mm-hmm. tell people what your process is prior to mark or once that marking that spot after that happens.
Well, it all starts really with my warm up before. If you know, if we're driving down, I have to be mentally prepared whether it's going to be a field goal or an extra point. So I'm trying to prepare myself, and actually, in the back of my mind, I'm hoping that we bog down and I have to kick a field goal, because as a kicker, you want to you have to want to be out there. And so then I'm, you know, mentally focused the entire time, and when I actually get out on the field, I've already judged the wind being on the sideline, and then when I get out on the field, I judge the wind from being directly out there, and then see if there's any type of footing issues, and if there are, I adjust it, and from then on, I'll get the spot, and the holder will have his hand there. I'll take my three steps back, then aim exactly where I'm looking at, take my two steps over, and then the only real thought process I have after that is more of a tempo thought process, telling myself to make a nice smooth swing and where I'm trying to hit it.
Where you're trying to hit it?
Where I'm trying to kick the ball. So, you know, let's say...
See, now that's what I wanted you to explain to people, because, you know, Pat Leahy, who was a longtime kicker for the Jets, used to explain to me in golf terms about hitting the ball by and he did that in terms of a club. Explain that to people about point of contact on the ball.
Yeah, the point of contact on a football, yeah, I mean, for all things are equal, you're trying to hit the ball about an inch, maybe 2 inches below center of the ball to get maximum power and trajectory on it. And, you know, that can vary from kick to kick with how far the distances are, but for the most part, you're trying to impact that ball in the same spot and trying to kick it on the ball of your foot, the hard part of your foot, on the top of it. And that's where you get the most power and accuracy.
All right, so I got a question here, because it just came to me, because you're trying to make contact with the ball, and we're getting to the finer points of kicking here.
This is intricate.
It's exciting stuff.
But no, you talk about making contact with the ball of your foot, the hardest part of your foot on the ball, which obviously gives it, you know, more energy leaving.
Yeah.
You know, and we just had Deflategate. Do kickers ever, you know, look at the balls and feel the balls and have a preference for the ball pressure? And on top of that, are there kickers in the past that you may have heard that maybe they did certain things that weren't really legal, like maybe putting a metal plate on the ball of their foot to maybe gain a little bit of extra distance?
Those are good questions. And I would say, number one, with in terms of the pressure of the ball, it's a lot better to have more air in the ball than there is left, because a ball is kind of like a trampoline effect, and the more compression that you can create with the ball gives it more spring to it, and therefore more power. So you'd rather have more air in it than less.
So you're saying you would not want to kick Tom Brady's ball?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
That would be painful for everybody.
And so in the second part of that, so if a kicker were to try to cheat, what would he do?
The one thing that we could do to cheat, and I've heard of teams getting warned about this in the past for kicker balls, but on the sideline for home games, we have the ball boy that's strictly a K-ball guy, and he'll carry three of the K-balls with him at all times. And you can go up to him and you know, look at him, and you're just not supposed to be able to touch them, because they don't want us to, you know, have any effect on the ball whatsoever. But I've heard of guys going up to the K-ball guy and try to switch out a football with him, or, you know, try to be slick about it and get one of their own footballs in the game. And I've actually played a couple games where we thought that the other team was bringing their own ball into the game, but, you know, that's something that I can't really say that with 100% accuracy, but those are just accusations.
Well, let's hear team names. Kickers. Let's go. Let's going to throw out accusations.
We don't need to do that. But you know, the one thing that I did hear, and I I don't know if this is true or not, but that teams would take the balls and put them in the dryers. Because, because you know, if the pressure is right, that's perfect. You know, the more pressure you have, the farther the ball goes. But the more pliable or rubbery, you know, softer that the ball is, the farther it will travel. So if you could take a ball and you could prepare it Josh Gobe's way, would you take it, put it in the dryers, the team dryers, for about an hour, and then and then overinflate it? You're saying that that would be great?
Absolutely. Okay. But this, people used to do stuff like that before they implemented the K-ball back in, what, 99 or 2000. But, I mean, if you really want to break a ball in as fast as you can, that would probably be the best way to go about it. But you still need to break it in with, like, a wet towel to get all the paint and the wax off of it, and then toss it in the dryer for a little while.
Actually, that would Josh, the wet towel works, but the an alcohol-soaked towel works better.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, I've actually tried that before. The only problem doing that is it actually takes off so much of the wax that it dries it out really fast, and the ball ends up being pointless after a few kicks.
I don't know, because for some reason I've had this dream that I've seen balls being rubbed down with rubbing alcohol and then put in dryers.
That stuff that probably Hollis and Barker used to do back in the day.
Oh, wow. That was legal, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that wasn't illegal. It was back then, yeah.
The American Century Championship is coming up in July. You playing again in Tahoe?
I am, yeah. They just came out with the list of the invitations for that one, and I got invited a few months ago, so that was nice to be on the first wave of invitations this year, so I'm looking forward to that.
You played pretty well last year, right, early in the weekend?
I played good the first nine holes. The last however 45 holes were not very good.
All right, so I got one more question for you, Josh. Okay. You know, and this is just, you know, back in the day, we always used to wonder, you know, when we were in meetings, I wonder what the kickers and the punters are doing right now.
Oh, that varies from year to year, because it used to be back whenever we had a player lounge, whenever guys were in meetings or doing whatever they do, we had a nice, comfy player lounge with couches and big-screen TVs, and I would just go take a nap in there. It was fantastic. But now, you know, with social media and electronics the way they are, you know, we basically just sit at our lockers on our phones and on our computers. I'm real big into watching TV series, so I'll download an entire series of a television show and watch it throughout the year.
What's your show this year, then, coming up? What are you watching right now?
I started Game of Thrones at training camp last year, so I caught up with it, and now I'm watching the current season.
See, I knew it.
Tough life, being a kicker.
That's right.
It's a rough life. Somebody's got to do it.
Josh, we appreciate your time tonight and insight on the rule change and everything else, too, and we'll see you soon. Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Josh Scobie, Jaguars kicker, joining us. Always entertaining to speak with. Number 10, Republic Services, the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider to the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Jaguars ticket 3-packs are on sale now. Get the best prices and best locations. Pick any 3 home games at EverBank and choose from 5 different locations in the stadium. Prices start at $99. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. We continue on Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Logman. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to the phone lines tonight and welcome in Chris from the West Side. Wants to talk about Tom Brady. I guess Tom Brady, not Kyle Brady, right?
No, Tom Brady for sure. I mean, did we really just spend 30 minutes talking about kickers?
We did, and Jeff loved every minute of it, yes.
Please allow me to change the subject. I know a lot of Jaguar fans are concerned by the Tom Brady suspension. I am probably in the minority when I say they should not be. I subscribe to the Gus Bradley way of thinking about things, where I want to play against the best, because that's the best way to get better. And that's not just some pie-in-the-sky philosophy. Let's think about this practically. I know this year we want to be in the conversation for the playoffs, but we're not expecting much after that. I mean, what does an extra win afford us? I'm thinking more long-term. If we expect to be Super Bowl winners, we need to get used to be playing against Super Bowl contenders. What do you guys think?
Good question. Appreciate that.
What
do you think, Jeff?
I think he makes a great point. I mean, you know, as a player, would you shed a tear if Tom Brady's not available for that game? No, absolutely not. But I think the one thing you got to watch out for is the trap of having that consume your thoughts. Are we going to see this guy, or are we not going to see this guy? You know, so you prepare that, hey, look, we're ready to take anybody on. And I think when you're a real competitor, you want to face the best. You know, going back, and I hate to always do this, but, you know, playing the Buffalo Bills back in their heyday when they had, you know, four Super Bowl appearances and they didn't win one, but, I mean, that was one of the best teams in the National Football League year in and year out, and they were a division opponent, faced them twice a year. That's the team you wanted to play. Mm-hmm. Because if you beat them, you knew that, look, hey, we're capable, you know. So that was the game I think that I look forward to maybe more than any, you know, battling against a guy like Will Wolford or battling against a guy like House Ballard, to know that, hey, look, if I beat this guy, I get an opportunity to whack Jim Kelly, you know, and that's what you got fired up for, because they were a great football team. And it wouldn't have been the same if it were Frank Reich for a week, you know. The emotion would not have been there. You know,
just wanted to hit Jim
not
Kelly.
As high. I wanted to whack him. I mean, I wanted to hit Jim Kelly so hard, man, because he was one of the best. Dan Marino. I mean, when you're facing one of the best, you want to take your best shot at the best.
This is a week to week league, though, so you really, yeah, you look ahead some as a player, but you really get ready for the Patriots week three.
Well,
right?
Look, as you're
whoever's out there, you just got to get ready for whoever's out there.
If you're a player right now, the last thing in the world you're thinking about, okay, are we going to see Tom Brady or are we not going to see Tom Brady right now? Because, you know, if you're thinking about that now in end of May, where are your thoughts at? I mean, your thoughts need to be about, I need to work on this set in the weight room today right now, and then in another hour when I'm on the field, I need to work at this technique and understanding this system. You know, so I don't think that fans kind of look at that right now, but I think as players and coaches right now, they're just worrying about living in the moment and getting better in that moment, and then worry about what happens when it's determined at some point, you know. But I mean, you know, look, people are human. You're sitting there going, yeah, I hope he's not available. But at the same time, I want to face the best. So it's kind of twofold. Kind of, I think from a player standpoint, it'll be a little bit of mixed emotions.
Jody and Ponte Vedra Beach did not get enough point after talk. What's up, Jody? How are you?
Hey, Jeff, it's Jody. How's it going?
What's happening, Jody?
Hey, you know, Josh is downplaying all that stuff. You know what he really wanted? He just wanted to do away with the PAT so he could sit on the sideline with his pitching wedge and his 9-iron practice close to the pin next year. So when Jack Thorne's up there on that 17th tee,
yeah,
he gets close to the pin.
That's a good point.
The other thing is, I still need to fix my saffron shrimp and grits with andouille sausage. We'll get Blake and Coach Bradley there, and we'll get them playing Southern football.
Yeah, you will, I guess, right? You have a history with Jody here and his shrimp and grits?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shrimp and grits are always a good thing.
That'll make you play better football. It will, right?
Yeah. If that doesn't, I don't know what would.
You don't need the OTAs. You just need to change your diet.
Interesting, yeah. We had probably one of the best non-calls questions of the day from Joe Fortunato in the first break.
Oh, and yeah.
When
it was about, you're talking about Howie Long.
Well, when I was talking about Howie Long, yeah, that I used to say that Howie Long used to keep a book on offensive coordinators. Joe thought that was kind of strange that you would keep a book on an offensive coordinator.
and as opposed to a quarterback or a player
or a team
or an offensive line or whatever.
I mean, if you follow the National Football League, I mean, offensive coordinators are very, very fluid. You know, a lot of changes happen. And so, like what Howie did, coordinators get fired and hired all the time. Dirk Cutter, for example. Dirk Cutter was here in Jacksonville. Dirk Cutter went to Atlanta. Now Dirk Cutter is in Tampa Bay. So now you have an offensive coordinator. So if you've been playing during this era of Dirk Cutter and you've kept a book on Dirk Cutter, when you went to play the Jaguars, you wrote notes. And then when Dirk went over to Atlanta, then you would break out that notebook that had Dirk Cutter section. So now you could use that and have some of the terminology that Dirk had in Jacksonville applied against Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. And then now that Dirk is in Tampa Bay, you can now follow the same pattern. So, I mean, so you see a coordinator is not stationary for very long. And then you also follow the trees of coaches. And that's what Howie used to do. If Dirk Cutter has a disciple that gets spun off and all of a sudden now he's the offensive coordinator at another place, you can break out the Dirk Cutter. Now you start a new section on this disciple, but
there'll be some.
But
some
the base,
changes.
The yeah. base part, the foundation yeah. of it is comes from Dirk.
Smart. That's why he is where he is.
That's right.
Right now, we'll come back in a moment and go around the National Football League. And the Jags have developed the first premium business program for local businesses. Includes four principles: consulting, a business hospitality playbook, events and experiences, and exposure and recognition. Get your business in the black at jaguarsblack.com. We'll look around the league and close it up after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Final segment of Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Vaselli is out, and is out next week too. So it's you and me again, big guy.
Next Sounds week. Good.
That'll be a fun one.
We can handle it.
That's right. It'll be OTAs to talk about next week.
Yeah, and that'll be good because I'm looking forward to seeing I'm looking forward to seeing everybody, and looking forward to seeing Greg Olsen institute the new offense. But most importantly, you want to see a lot of these new guys, you know, Jared Odrick and Julius Thomas. I mean, these guys, Devon House, these guys, these free agent guys that you know are going to walk in the door and be able to contribute right away. That, to me, is extremely intriguing.
It's time now for a 360-degree look around the National Football League, presented by 360 Access. Don't mess around when it comes to game time. The 360 Access team of experts is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure you have the best experience for the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com to learn more. The Baltimore Sun reporting that Ray Rice has completed his pretrial intervention program. Domestic violence charges could be dismissed by a New Jersey judge. He has avoided jail time, agreeing to that intervention as a first-time offender.
Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of people say, well, how can he get away with that? Look, that's the law. He followed everything that he had to do to have that, you know, go away. And if it were any other person in society that had that, they could have had the same result. So, is what it is.
Will he work in the National Football League again?
No, I mean he's got that stigma attached to him, and then the production, the talent has declined. So why? I mean, if you're an NFL team, I don't want to say put these two guys in the same category because they're two completely different type of situations, but I think, you know, there are some similarities in that teams don't want to have the circus is with Tim Tebow. You know, that the value of the player doesn't match the value of the circus that comes along with it. You know, and Chip Kelly has now said, look, you know, that I think maybe some of the Tim Tebow fervor has died down, but the Ray Rice thing has not died down. So I would be surprised if anybody picks him up.
To that end, Adrian Peterson, that's a talent level that probably matches the circus that would come with that if he were to change teams. Or
yeah,
something
I
like
mean,
that,
if
you know?
Yeah. if he were to have diminished skills, then he would have a hard time finding a job as well.
Yeah.
But the last time he played, he was the best running back or one of the top two running backs in the National Football League. It's a little different. And I think a lot of people view his transgression a lot differently than what Ray Rice's transgressions were.
You're going to love this. You're an old school. I guess you're kind of an old school type of guy, right?
A little bit.
I guess you could consider yourself.
Yeah, but I'm not like old.
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, you know, gray beard, but that, you know, that's okay.
So what are you trying to say?
I'm just saying you'll like this. The Tampa Bay Bucks had their rookies meet with an etiquette coach for 3 hours on Monday night. That's according to Greg Allman of the Tampa Bay Times. This includes handshakes, social media, body language, proper introductions, networking, dining do's and don'ts. Did you have an etiquette class when you were a rookie with the Jets?
No. And you know what? A lot of people would kind of laugh at that, and I don't. You know, NFL players have a great opportunity in life, to be able to form relationships that can benefit them in the long term when the game is long gone. And I think by teaching things like that, it will allow them to be able to reach new heights as a person or as an individual that they may not have been able to reach. You know, the NFL does a great program. They have a player programs thing that's set up that teaches things like that. Not all teams utilize that type of class. But the financial training seminar so that these guys can get some help in managing their money because, I mean, a lot of these guys have no idea to handle money, and not many people did at the age of 21.
Right, and there's a lot of people coming after that money, too.
Exactly. They also teach these players about, you know, look, being careful about relationships that you form and that, you know, people don't always have your best interest at heart. The proper way to treat women. I mean, they have had that in the past. I mean, there's a lot of different things that they teach players, and a lot of the players kind of went through that with a kind of a bad attitude. I mean, going all the way back to when I did it. I mean, and any opportunity that you can get to improve as an individual and as a player, if you don't take advantage of that, it's a missed opportunity, not only for, you know, being in as a player, but also in life. I mean, I think it's outstanding that the league does that. They do things about second career in the offseason where they help players get jobs in fields that maybe when their playing days are done that they would like to get involved with. I mean, that's all comes from the league, and each team has a player programs type of guy. And here it's Marcus Pollard, former tight end for the Indianapolis Colts, that they institute all of these things. And it's a great thing because I think all it does is help the individual become better, and then in turn will make the team better.
Yeah, this is not a bread plates on the left type of scenario. This is not quite that type of thing.
No,
but,
no, but I mean, what they're doing, that's all good stuff.
And this etiquette coach, this exact one, worked with the Bucks in 2012 and 2013, the Bears last year, next week with the Steelers
as
well.
Yeah, and they do, all over the league. You know, they do things where they teach players, you know, how to deal with the media. They give them tips and tactics and with dealing with questions. And
is there a Vito Stellino section?
Well, there probably could be. There probably could be a one section on Vito. Now, Vito's been at it a long time.
Absolutely. He's a Hall of Famer. Marcell Dareus, Bills defensive tackle, suspended for week one, a substance abuse policy issue.
Yeah, that's not his first thing. I mean, he had an issue the last year. He is sooner or later he needs to figure out, you know, what he's doing is just killing himself.
Is he an elite player?
No, there's no question. Marcell Dareus and Kyle Williams for the Buffalo Bills, the tandem defensive tackles, that they be arguably the two best in the game today. I mean, they're that good. And they really run a really good defense that really kind of highlights their abilities. But, you know, I think the disappointing thing is that here's a player that, you know, really has an opportunity to really grasp, you know, a football life and really take a hold of it and carry it to many heights. But, you know, he always seems to have these kind of things pop up. And sooner or later, it's going to catch up to him.
Didn't he have just a horrible speeding ticket in Alabama just a year or two ago? And I know I can tell you this about Marcell Dareus. I jumped over my coffee table when he returned the fumble for a touchdown against Texas in the national championship game.
Well, he had, let's see, looking at it now, he was suspended without pay for the first game of this year for violating the league's substance abuse policy. He was arrested last year on charges of possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia.
Yes.
And he acknowledged at that time that a suspension was warranted. So, I mean, sooner or later, you know, he's got to figure out what the right thing to do is. And clearly what he's doing is not.
Owners' meetings in San Francisco, of course, this week. We heard about the rule change the point after, but the biggest story comes with Roger Goodell and the New England Patriots. And Patriots owner Robert Kraft will accept the penalties. He will not appeal the team penalties, but it sounds like Brady and the Players Association are appealing.
Well, I mean, the Players Association has a lot on their plate right now. I mean, the way that the Ray Rice things, what they call the commissioner's exempt list, the way that that was handled, that was argued that a lot of these cases were done under the current collective bargaining agreement guidelines, but the incidents happened under the previous guidelines. And I get why the NFL Players Association, I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on with the Players Association going after the league right now. And this Tom Brady thing, I just wish that Tom, and I said this last week, I think, that he had elected to receive the support of the NFL Players Association from the onset. And I think that if he had done that, then I think that things would have been handled a little bit differently.
Should Goodell hear that appeal, or should it be somebody else?
Well, I mean, according to the collective bargaining agreement, I mean, he has the right to hear the appeal. Now, the issue is, right now, is that Troy Vincent was the one who handed down the punishment. And that the way the collective bargaining agreement reads is that conduct detrimental falls on the commissioner and only the commissioner. So the NFLPA may have a legal argument to that.
Jeff, well done. OTAs next week. We'll do this again next Thursday night. How about it?
I'm looking forward to it.
So Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.